Let us pray. O God of light and life, in whose presence there is no darkness, and who knows all things, speak to us this day your word of life and truth. By the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, teach us to wait in expectation and to know your way of faithfulness for us. May the reading and hearing of your word today help us to attend to your providential direction and care for us. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. The reading from the Old Testament is Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. That can be found in your blue Bible on page 309, the red Bible 392. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons, and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. Then the vessels were full. She said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest."
The New Testament text, excuse me, comes once again from the book of Acts. Reading today from chapter 9, verses 32 through 43. Hear the word of God. "Now as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down and also to the saints who lived at Lydda. And there he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, 'Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make up your bed.' And immediately he rose, and all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, 'Please come to us without delay.' So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, "Arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. To his name be the honor and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, a couple of decades ago, almost 20 years ago, when Deb and I found out that we were going to be parents, one of the first things we were told to do is to go out and buy the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. It's one of the first things we did. And it's a classic book. And a lot of other people have done the same thing. This book has gone through 4 editions in 24 years, and there are 14.5 million copies in print. People do like to look ahead and see what they might reasonably expect when a baby is on the way, to see where they're going, especially when they are facing major changes. If you look on Amazon today, you'll find that this book is accompanied by a plethora of other books on the subject of expecting, what to expect in the first year, what to expect in junior high, and on all sorts of other subjects as well. So you see, this desire to know what to expect is apparently inherent in people in many different areas of life. I mean, I suspect that you all pay some attention to previews of new movies, if you're thinking about going to a movie, multimedia presentations about new factories that are proposed for communities or new resorts that they're trying to get you to invest in, what your outcome is likely to be from some medical procedure that you're thinking about having. When we begin the process to join the EPC, there were many of us who tried to look ahead to see what we could expect as we went through that process. We're still wondering, some of us, what is ahead of us to finish that process. The Christian faith in the life of the church is pretty much the same in terms of expectations. We are living expectantly, expecting the second coming of Jesus. That expectation colors our way of living and our proclamation. Pretty much nothing that we have to say would be of interest to anybody or have any value at all were it not for the fact that we are awaiting the return of Jesus, inaugurating the kingdom of God on the earth. I think most of us would like to know a little bit more about what to expect while we're expecting, while we're waiting. Wouldn't you? So you could say that we are wondering what to expect while we're expecting Jesus to come back. You know that the book of Acts is our only picture of the earliest church, the one that was closest to the original teachings of Jesus. As such, it was under the leadership of the original apostles, and therefore it is often seen as a point of reference for us, a picture of what we might or ought to try to be and to look like in our own life in the church. So what can we see here in this brief passage that gives us a picture of the life of expectation? This picture of the life of expectation from the church in the first century, which was at least as expectant as we are for the coming again of Jesus, might give us some hints or clues if we are expecting. This passage is a picture of the church in waiting. But it is also a story with other dimensions to it. It's also a story of what the Holy Spirit is doing in and around and through the church while it is waiting for the coming again of Jesus. And so what can we, the expecting church today, expect based upon what we've seen in today's story from Acts? We have here 2 scenes of Peter as he went around and about among the believers. First, in Lydda, he healed a man named Aeneas, who had been paralyzed and bedridden for 8 years. Apparently this was the sort of thing that got people talking, because soon there came a couple of men from Joppa to find Peter and to ask him to come with them right away. I don't know what they expected the apostle to do. Maybe they wanted him to come and bring comfort to the mourners, or maybe they just wanted him to conduct the funeral, or maybe they were worried about the slack in their ministry now that Tabitha was gone, and they hoped Peter would help them sort out who could take it on and do it. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves there. The story of Aeneas looks first like a standard healing story of the Bible in which the name of Jesus brings about a total transformation. Aeneas was, by his paralysis, condemned to a lifetime of dependence, being a burden on his family and on the community, unable to contribute anything of value. But suddenly, with a single command, the Holy Spirit working through Peter changes all of that. Aeneas is suddenly able to get up and walk. But more than that, he suddenly begins to change lives, as his experience of healing in the name of Jesus brings people all around him to embrace the faith for themselves. The sudden change from bedridden burden to active life changer, that is about as dramatic as anything that you could hope for. I would suggest that according to Acts, this is one of the sorts of things that we can expect while we are expecting Jesus coming again. We can expect the Holy Spirit to transform lives, working through those who appear to have nothing to offer, and working in astounding ways. Next, we turn to the story of Tabitha, or Dorcas if you prefer the Greek to the Aramaic. Both of these terms mean gazelle. And in Tabitha, we have this person who looks graceful and gracious, and so gazelle is probably an appropriate name. Anyway, in Tabitha, we see a story which echoes and deepens what we saw in Aeneas. In Tabitha, we have a noteworthy person. She is identified as a disciple. And in fact, she is the only woman in the Bible who is so identified as a disciple. Tabitha is a highly unusual character. She's one of the very few women reported as leading in the ministry of the church. The fact that she has a ministry such as she has means that she must have some assets of her own. Again, a highly unusual thing for a woman in that time and place. And so, again, we find God working through someone who would be quite unexpected to play any role in the church, any leadership role at all. The cold hard fact of the matter is that in the first century, widows, and particularly those with no adult male children to protect them, were on the bottom of the heap, socially, financially, and culturally. With no one to support them or protect them and no way to relate to the community in a socially acceptable and meaningful way. But Dorcas of Joppa refused to let that stand. Caring for widows was her own special ministry, and she would carry it out. She clothed them and fed them, and even more importantly, she connected with them and connected them to the community. This ministry of Tabitha, of caring for the poor, the widow, the weak, echoes an Old Testament special concern that God has put in many, many stories in the Old Testament. This special place the Old Testament has for the people of God protecting and taking care of widows and orphans and those who are powerless and helpless. This is just one of a dozen of such stories, this story we read from 2 Kings. So Dorcas of Joppa was living out what the church is supposed to do and be. But now she's dead. And as Peter comes into the room, we have this heartrending picture of all these widows that she has helped, who are there showing the wares that she has provided for them. And you wonder if these people are not faced with fear, a fear that this person who had cared for them and provided for them, now being gone, that they'd be thrown on their own devices. Afraid that the caring and connection that Dorcas provided to the church and the community were gone. But she's dead, so who could do anything? And then when Peter enters the scene, he moves all the onlookers outside the room. He kneels down and prays, and Peter effectively puts it in God's lap. And then, in the grip of one who does not fear death, he addresses the body and says simply, "Tabitha, arise." She opened her eyes. The whole world is changed. The power of death is shown to be as nothing compared with the power of God to uphold and to preserve his people. Even the grave itself cannot interrupt that flow of care and love from heaven to earth. And in the restored Tabitha, we see a glimpse of the kingdom to come. A community where widows and orphans and the poor and anyone else will not be left with no hope. This community in which the powers of gold and silver, of rank, of power, even death itself, are negated by the sole power of Jesus' name. And that is what we and the widows of Joppa and all of our sisters and brothers are waiting for. This is one more thing which, praise God, we may expect while we're expecting. We may expect that from time to time one may be given such glimpses. In reading the story of the first church, we may gain some idea of what we might expect to see while we wait. We can expect that the Spirit will act to transform lives, bringing possibility from despair. We may expect God to use those who seem to be the least likely to be agents of his grace. And we may expect to meet such agents of grace and perhaps even be given ourselves the opportunity to be those agents of grace. Let us pray that we will be of such use. I expect that we will be given our chance. Amen.